I can't tell you how glad I am to be at a church where people worship. Amen. I don't want to be where we're just kind of going through the motions. I didn't become a follower of Christ just to go through the motions. Anybody else? No. If we're in it, we're in it. Amen. All right, so we are in the last of this series, Unshakable Faith. We've been talking about it out of the book of James. I've just been hitting themes more than just going verse by verse out of it. How many of you have gotten something out of this series so far? I hope you have. If you've missed any of them, they're all online so many different ways. But I want to tell you, my encouragement is hopefully to be able to put some tools in your toolbox so that we can navigate the ups and downs of life, because we all have them. We want to live victorious. Our passion for people is that they would walk victoriously. Amen? Every day. Not to be like, oh man, I'm so down. The devil's, you know, kicked me around. No, we get to kick the devil around. Amen. We can walk in victory. So we're gonna wrap this up. The title of this message is Living in the Tension. How many of you know we have tension in this world? And in life, one thing that I have found out, well, I guess two things. There are tensions that come into our life that we just have to learn to manage. But then there are also problems that we have to solve. Like when a problem literally comes, and let me just say, not everything in your life is a problem. Amen? Can I tell you, when I was younger, I thought I had to solve all the problems. Anybody else with me? Oh, there's a problem. I got to solve it. Oh, I got to solve that. Oh, I got to solve that. And, you know, you kind of find yourself spinning out if you do that. Eventually, I kind of learned, you know what? I don't have to solve this. I just got to kind of manage this tension as we get through it and get to the other side. I hope that makes sense there, because if you've ever like owned a business, if you've ever been a boss or a leader, you're going to learn, especially with the people that are under you, there are tensions you got to manage, but there's also problems that you got to solve. And there's a dilemma. I have found I can't fix everything. Anybody? I can't fix everything, but at the same time, I can't just let everything go. And so, where is the balance? Do I fix this or do I manage this? Where do I find, like I said, managing people, you're going to find, okay, I got to manage that. I got to solve this. And in life, maybe you face some of these tensions. I want to show you. Maybe you go out to lunch and you're like, oh no, there's a tension here. Subway or Jersey Mike's? All right. How many of you guys like Subway? Come on. I saw several hands. How many of you guys like Jersey Mike's? There's more hands going up, all right? So, but if you're in the car and one of you likes Jersey Mike's and one of you likes Subway, how many of you know there's some tension?
Go to Jimmy John's.
Go to Jimmy John's. Where is one? Where's the closest one around here? Folsom, yeah. So it's just, here's another one that could be a tension in your life. Baskin Robbins or frozen yogurt?
Both.
At the same time? I don't know if you guys have been to, what is it, Mochi? That's on off of Green Valley there. Anybody been to that yet? If you hadn't, let me just tell you. For me, that's not really a tension. It's more of a problem, because if you get to the frozen yogurt, the problem to solve is like, what topping do I put on? Right, oh man, that one looks good, and that one looks good, and you intended to go in to get just a little bit, and you walk out, and it's all up anyway. How many of you know those aren't really problems? But can I tell you, in life and following Christ, there's a tension that we have following Him, and it's like, do I live for heaven? Do I live for eternity and keep my eyes always, or do I got to manage? Do I got to live in this world? And what am I saying there is that, do I live for that heaven one day, or do I have to live for right now? Because right now's got things that we got to pay attention to as well, right? And so sometimes the question, if you've been following the Lord for a while, the questions we may ask ourselves is, do I just sell everything and give it to the poor and live in a tent because heaven's my home anyway? Yeah, got some nose out of that. Or sometimes, and people have struggled with this, is it bad that I have this nice car when there are children around the world that need, are wondering where their next meal's coming from? How many of you know that's a real tension that is there? How many of you guys are with me? And let me tell you, how many of you have been to a third world country before? Let me see some hands. There's a lot of you guys have. And let me tell you, I've been on my share of times. I've been to the Philippines. I've been to Haiti. I've been to El Salvador twice. And I've actually got some pictures here. Because this, and look, where's Stephanie at back there? This is actually her in the clown outfit right there. I didn't get your whole picture in there. But we were there 2 years ago for that. We were there last year. This is literally somebody's house right here. And it's like, that's your door, just sheet metal that is right there. And people live there. This is the street that, you know, kids, and you could just see the houses that are there. Back in 2012, a year after the earthquake in Haiti, we ended up going to, and this is me without a beard, a few more pounds and without a beard, but this little boy, we were into the orphanages, he lost his mom and dad in the earthquake the year before, and they were packed full of kids that didn't have mom or dads. Can I tell you, that was heartbreaking. That was heartbreaking, and it's like, you want to give them everything you got. This was like many, many years ago. This was 1987, right? I was in college. We ended up going to the Philippines, and we saw a lot of poverty there. This is one of our friends. He did pastor. Now he's retired at my age. How do you do that? Anyway, look at all the kids that were there, and these were the houses and stuff that they lived from, and I can tell you, when you leave something like that, man, part of your heart stays there too. You know, part of your heart stays there. And I wanted to tell you kind of a story with my daughter. You know, her and her husband are getting ready to go to Czech Republic, probably early sometime in the new year. And missions has been on her heart since she was 12 years old. And she went on her very first mission trip to Costa Rica at 12 years old. And people are like, what? You sent your 12-year-old there? Listen, you gotta allow God to do what God's going to do. When she was like 14 years old, she went on her third mission trip to Panama, and these are just some of the pictures of her as a young teenager going to, I'm not sure where all those places are, but she went to Panama, and she was there for a month, and almost that entire month she lived, which is Robert's homeland, lived in the Darien jungle. And I lived amongst, you know, all dirt floors. The kids, they usually had like maybe one or two outfits. That's all they had. Got to minister. It was life-changing for her. But I remember when she came back, so this was August, and you know, you got school coming up, you got school shopping time coming up, and she's like, she was calling with one, said like, okay, let's go get you some clothes. School's about to start. She goes, I don't want anything. I got more than I deserve. And she literally didn't want anything. I mean, in my head, I'm thinking, wow, God did something. Secondly, I was thinking, yes, save some money, right? That didn't last. I mean, she wouldn't even sleep on her bed for about 2 weeks because she just felt guilty having a bed when all of these other kids were just basically sleeping on the dirt, right? On little mats is all that they have. And so listen, even if you haven't been there, sometimes we have missionaries that come, they tell you stories, and you know, we look at those things, and it's like, we have these questions like, am I not living enough for God's kingdom? Am I not sacrificing enough? And if we're not careful, we can allow ourselves to be manipulated. Isn't that right? So we got to be careful. But James is going to talk to us about how to live with this tension. Like, what do I live for? And I just want to encourage you today that we should live with an eternity mindset. Amen? We should have this. Like, I don't think the tension that you and I have is that I live too much with an eternity mindset. Oh man, I just think about the Lord way too much. I think the tension is this earth that is constantly pulling us down and living our life in light of what's going on right now. All right, in my life, my problems, my this, my that, oh, my situation. And that can really entrap us. So the question is not, how do I live more for today, but how do I keep myself in check and live more for eternity? Does that make sense? So how do I keep my mind at this place? Like when God blesses you with something, what am I going to do with that? And how many of you know it's okay for you to enjoy some of the blessings that God gives you? Amen. That is not a sin. As a matter of fact, this may be a verse you're not aware of, 1 Timothy 6:17. It's like God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. How many of you know God blesses us for our enjoyment? So it's not a sin to enjoy some of the blessings that God gives you. But he does basically say, don't keep it all to yourself. Look what he goes on to say. Command them, he's talking about the rich, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. So it's like, okay, God, thank you for the blessings. It's okay for me to buy a new car, right? It's okay for me to do whatever. But if that's all I'm doing, if it's all coming to me, how many of you know we've got a problem? I want to live in such a way that I keep my mind on the thing that's the main thing.
Amen.
Amen. Where I realize, listen, earth, this isn't all there is. Aren't you glad earth isn't all there is? Look what James says in chapter 5, verse 8. You too, be patient, stand firm, because what? The Lord's coming is near. How many of you know he promised to come back again? And we've got to live with this anticipation. He's reminding us that, listen, whatever this life is, whether he comes back or you go to him, we got to keep this eternity mindset. Amen. We got to be careful, because here's the tension, and this is a fill in your notes. We can't be so heavenly minded that we're no good to this earth. All right, like my head's in the clouds and, you know, ooh, God, everything, this, that, and the other thing. Or the opposite is also true. I can't be so earthly minded that I'm no heavenly good. God can't use me because I'm so wrapped up in everything that's going on in this earth. Are you with me? How many of you know this is a real tension, isn't it? If you really think, and I don't know if I can't give you the answer of how to solve it today. I'm just telling you that. I don't know if we ever solve it, but we have to learn how to manage it. Amen. Does that make sense? So, I mean, let me tell you, there's some days, man, I am plugged into God and I got all cylinders working and God is here and I'm listening. I'm hearing him. I'm telling people about Jesus. I mean, it's going, but I'm going to be honest with you. Some days it's all about me. All right, some days I'm only thinking my decisions, my spending, my attitude, whatever it is. And so, hello, how many of you guys, how many of you have been on both sides of it? All right, we've been on both sides, and we can see how we respond to the circumstances of this world, where our mind is at. And I love this quote by C.S. Lewis. I got several for you today. But he says this, if I find myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. Isn't that good? Let me tell you, if you haven't read C.S. Lewis stuff, you need to. Let me tell you, there are things on this earth that will never satisfy the things in your heart. And you're looking. Like, it doesn't matter how much money you make, how much you accumulate. Doesn't matter how successful you are. Doesn't matter, like, ooh, I got this award, or I got this, or I'm the salesman of the month. That's okay for a moment, but how many of you know it doesn't really satisfy? Because there are some things in life, they are absolutely not going to fulfill you, because you and I were made for a different world.
Yes.
Amen? So how do I live in light of that? How do I keep myself from, like, going too far in one direction, living on this earth, and keeping my heart towards eternity? So I want to cover four ways to manage this tension that James gives us in basically in chapter 4, into 4, going into 5. And listen, we're just going along with what Scripture says. Amen? I'm not making stuff up. We're just following what it says. So number one in your notes is that I got to live with an urgency. I gotta live, like, not passively. Too many times people live passively, like, you know, the whole case, sirrah, sirrah, whatever's gonna be is gonna be. And I've always had this envision, I've used this analogy a lot, is that there are some people who live life like they're the pinball and they're stuck in the machine and they're being bounced back and forth by life circumstances. Anybody ever feel that way? Like, boom, oh man, boom, oh no this, boom, oh. How many of you know eventually the longer you're the pinball, you're going to end up in the gutter? Right? Eventually you're going to go, don't live like that. We got to live purposely. We got to live with urgency. Look what James starts out to say in verse 13. And I just wanted to cover these first two words. Now listen. How many of you ever remember a now listen from mom and dad? How many of you know that was about to be intense, right? You better listen up. Right? You better pay attention. And that's kind of where James is going right here. It's kind of this corrective tone that he's given. But listen, if the word of God has inspired the writers, how many of you know that's God giving us a corrective tone? And it's like, we got to listen. Correction is always about protection, isn't it? And don't raise your hand to this question, but we don't like just, when our kids were little, we don't just sit at home and like, man, I'm really bored. I just want to correct my kids. Right? No, we don't do that. But if we see them with a fork and they're heading to the light socket, how many of you know there's going to be a word of correction because we see danger in their future, in like not too distant future at that, right? So sometimes God brings correction because he sees us heading in a wrong direction. And so that's what this verse is getting into. He says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we're going to go do this in that city, spend a year there, carry on business, make money. And look what he says, why you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. How many of you ever thought about that? I got my water bottle here. Here's your life, okay? You guys ready for it? It's gone. Isn't that true? There it is. Oh, man, my little grandbabies, they're growing. Oh, they're gone. Well, I would have been gone a long time ago off of that when they're there. But here's the thing. We don't think it. When you're young, how many of you guys remember, like, and some of you guys are young, but when those of us that are older, when you were young, it's like, man, I got my whole life. I got everything before me. I got all the time in the world. But let me tell you, the older you get, you're like, whoa, somebody please stop the world. Right? I'm ready to get off because it is, I mean, it's going. Right? I can't believe it. I mean, I'm going to be 60 years old this year. And I'm like, how in the world does that happen? Like, I know. How many of you, the older you get, doesn't it seem like it speeds up? Like, I feel like Christmas was last month. Why? What in the world? What is going on? And we think we got a long time. And so when you live with that mentality, you're like, I can restore that relationship later. I'll fix that situation another time. Oh, I've got time to forgive. You know what? I'm not going to do it right now. Or I'll ask for forgiveness later. James is saying, no, live with an urgency, right? Like, if I live with an urgency, then I realize my time on earth is short, right? And I need to do the things that I need to do right now. I can't say, oh, tomorrow I'll do it. I won't get my eye. Listen, when you live with urgency, you don't focus on the little minute things that kind of distract us, right? That try to capture our attention. And the things, honestly, we get captured by things that do not matter for eternity. Isn't that true? We let them boil in our heart and settle in there. And listen, urgency doesn't let you do that. Let me just say, we would not be offended so easily if we lived in light of eternity. Right? I can't waste my time carrying around a bunch of bitterness. Oh, got my bag of bitterness. This person said this and this person did that and what they didn't do. And listen, I don't have time for that. We've got something to do. I'm not going to waste my time carrying unforgiveness. I'm not going to waste my time in a toxic relationship that has taken me further away from the call of God rather than to him. Right? What am I doing? Why am I playing those games? I'm not going to waste my time in a job or a position that is not what God's called me to do. Life is short. We don't have forever. Amen? And I'm just trying to wake us up. How many of you are with me on that? Like, I believe if we understood eternity, we would live with our eyes towards heaven. And maybe, just maybe, where's my little card here? I don't know where it went. We would take one of those little cards and actually invite that neighbor or that friend or that family member. If we knew how short life really was, we wouldn't just be... I'm sorry, I'm kind of pausing here because my notes... That's what you do when you get an iPad. So, anyway, you know, maybe you would pray differently. Like, how many of you know sometimes we have very selfish prayers? Like, oh God, me this, bless me, bless that. Lord, I need this and I need that. Listen, with eternity, how many of you know you're going to start praying for other people more? Right, you're going to be caring about other people. Maybe you would find a place to serve, invest in our kids and our teens, go on a mission trip, sponsor a child. Listen, we just don't have time for petty things. This life is way too short. Like, we need to be on a mission. Jesus said, go into all the world. And you notice he didn't say tomorrow when you have time. Well, he did say wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from the Holy Spirit. But listen, he's like, listen, don't put it off. I can make the plans. What did he say? Today or tomorrow, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to that city. And let me just say, there's nothing wrong with plans. Amen? How many of you know there's nothing wrong with planning? But listen, I can't plan my life like I'm the one that's in control. All right, oh, this is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to plan like I've got all the time in the world. Well, one day I may do this. Life is short. And I know I'm just kind of hitting this. None of us are promised tomorrow. How many of you know the only thing you and I are promised is an appointment with death? And it's like, well, I miss a lot of appointments in my life. Can I skip that one? No, and I'm not trying to be morbid or doom and gloom here. It's about waking up and realizing, listen, in light of eternity, I've got to have the right perspective. I've got to live that way. I love what Martin Luther says in, he says, live as though Christ died yesterday, rose today, and is returning tomorrow. How many of you think if you had that mindset, you would live differently today? It would change your perspective. And think about the disciples. When Jesus ascended into heaven and the Holy Spirit was poured out, listen, they lived with urgency. They went everywhere telling people about Jesus. They weren't shy about it, even though they faced death and the possibility of death. And that's why years later, Paul gets back to Jerusalem, and they said, oh, these are the guys that have turned the known world upside down. You know why they did that? Because they knew time was short. And Timothy, if you could come up here. They knew time was short. They knew, listen, Jesus is alive. They saw it. They knew that the gospel, the good news, was true. And there was this urgency. I got to let other people know. Time is short. Time is short. Like today, we're like, oh, Jesus is coming back sometime. Not sure when. So maybe I'll go to church today. Maybe I'll tell somebody about the Lord. And we've been pushing these testimonies of people, and I just wanted to have Timothy come up. Him and Stephanie had an experience, and so come up here and share what was going on. And I would like to hear your stories too. And some of you guys, you kind of stopped telling them. We actually have a thing to scan and tell your testimony, because your testimony encourages others. So go ahead.
Okay, so... Stephanie and I, earlier this summer, we bought a pass to Dave and Buster's because it lets the kids play like unlimited games as long as we're there. And I was like, okay, that's cool. And then also we got like 30% off on food. So I'm like, save money. Like, so that's kind of our weekly little family thing. But 2 weeks ago, or I think 2 weeks, yeah, 2.5 weeks ago, we went to We don't usually, like, we've given out the cards before, but Pastor Scott has encouraged to, like, pray for people, not just like, tell them God loves them. And, I mean, that's good. It's a good first step, but offering to prayer is a little bit further. So Stephanie and I, we were kind of talking about it, and it's like, okay, well, let's if there's an opportunity. I mean, I don't know if anybody's been to Dave and Buster's. It's loud and everything, but... For some reason, we went 2.5 weeks ago. It was quiet. Like, the music was pretty low, and it was like, okay, this is kind of weird. Like, obviously, there's an opportunity. So we asked the guy if he needed prayer for anything. And, like, we felt super awkward about it because it's like, man, this is uncomfortable. But we did it, and the guy was like, he's like, oh, you know what? I really appreciate you asking. He's like, actually, I need prayer for my financial situation. He's like, just, I think he said a week or so ago, his roommate had moved out, so now he was paying for the whole apartment. He's like, I'm just kind of in a tight financial situation. It was like, okay, like, we'll pray for that. And then, anyway, so we did. Stephanie led in prayer, and she prayed for him and for God to bless him financially. And then he was like, oh, that wasn't awkward at all. And it's like, okay, well, it felt awkward for us. But anyway, we ended up going back again this last week, and Stephanie was getting like a refill on her soda, and then went up to him, and then he saw her, and like he came over. He's like, I got to tell you something. He's like, your prayer worked. And it was like, wait, what are you talking about? He's like, I was thinking about what you had prayed for me my whole shift. And then he's like, and then I got home. He's like, and before I went to sleep, he's like, I checked Indeed. He's like, and I got a message from this company that I had applied to like 3 months before. And they wanted an interview the next day. So we went on Wednesday. They wanted an interview Thursday. He's like, so Thursday I went in, and it's a better paying job, and they hired me on the spot. He's like, I don't know what you put out into the universe. It was like, we didn't put anything. We just prayed, and Jesus did it. So, you know, it was just an encouragement. So.
Amen. Amen. So those are things that, am I on still? Yeah, those are things that happen if we live with urgency. There are people in our world that need Jesus, that need hope, and God is calling us not just sit back, but to actually do something, because guess what? He could return tomorrow. Amen. How many of you know Jesus could come back actually before we even leave service today? How many of you would be like, that's okay with me? I'm all right with that. Let me tell you, when you look at prophecies, all the prophecies that need to happen have already happened to really set the stage. He could come back right now. Yep. Amen. This has to happen. This has to happen. Oh, no, he can come right now. Amen. I believe the only reason he hasn't is because he is grace. He wants to see more come into the kingdom. Amen. That's his mercy. So living with urgency, number two, is learning to submit to God's plan. And I know that's not always easy because I like my plan. How many of you like your plan? And it's like, this is my plan. But look what he says, and he goes on further in James. Instead of just saying, we're going to go here and do that, he says, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will. How many of you grew up around people that are like, always said that? If it's the Lord's will, you know. My wife said her dad would always say, well, if it's the Lord's will and the creek don't rise. Anybody ever hear that one before? That means because they were living out in the sticks, and if the creek rises, we're staying home, right? So anyway, if it's the Lord's will, we'll live here, we'll do this as it is. You boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. And look what he says. Anyone then who knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, that is sin. I mean, I'm not going to get into that. That's kind of deep right there. But how many of you know it's okay to make plans? But when we make plans, we've got to allow God veto power over that. Amen. Like even if you're wanting to build a building or build a house, how many of you know you get plans drawn up, you submit it to the building, whoever people, right? The ones that keep it for months on end, and you may or may not ever hear from them again. But anyway, you submit it. They may not like your plan and they may change it. So we can make a plan, but we got to submit it to God. And God may say, you know what, that's a great plan, but this is what I want you to do. I, you know, we can go along here, but you know what, right here where you're turning right, you're going to have to turn left. And we have to follow that, right? So if it's the Lord's will, and I know because in our mind, we make a plan, we execute it, we do it. And I realize that, man, God, your plan always supersedes my idea. Look what the Proverbs 19 says. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. I've made plans in my life when I was younger, going to college. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Can I tell you, when I was younger, never anywhere on any of my plans did it involve living in California. Right? If you don't know, I'm from Texas, right? All the people from California are going to live in Texas. Why are you bringing a U-Haul from Texas coming here? Because that was God's plan. I mean, and I started thinking about it. We've been in California for 18 years now. And I'm like, oh God, who knew that I would spend almost a third of my life in California? He knew, right? It wasn't on my agenda, but at some point in my life, I've got to submit my plans to God. Lord, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. But if you want to interject, I'm okay with that. That means that I am not tied to my earthly plan. And like I said, it's good to have a plan. You don't want to be the person that just wakes up and say, well, I'm just going to follow the Lord. And if he wants me to go to work today, then I'll go to work. But if he doesn't, I guess I'll just kind of stay home. And then I'll ask someone else to pay my bills. Right? I'm just following the Lord. I'm just, you know, I'm like the pollen floating in the air. Right? Wherever I land, I land. I might make someone sneeze, but that's okay. That was the Lord's will. Let me just say this, because we've had people that have come to this church and even other churches, and I'll talk to them, hey, you know, where are you from? What church do you normally go to? And I've heard this more than once. I don't go anywhere specific. I just wake up on Sunday morning and I'm like, Lord, where do you want me to go today? I mean, I feel like it's the little thing that they do with the finding water in the ground. All right. How many of you know that's not good? What do they call it? Let's move on. Yeah, that's not godly, right? Let me just say, trying to use that as an excuse, this is not a license to become weird. Amen? Just to wake up and say, oh, Lord, what do you want? No, it's not, we're not called to be dumb, right? Okay, I'm just saying, I know that may be harsh, but I'm saying you tell God, Lord, here's my plan, but if your plan supersedes my plan, I'm willing to follow you. Amen? That's like even doing a service. We do have like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We got the songs planned. But you know what? Sometimes the Lord says, no, I want you to do this. I didn't have the prayer time planned, but you know what? I was up there and I felt like the Lord was saying, listen, you need to give people an opportunity to be prayed for. So we do that. Sometimes God gives us a word or whatever. Sometimes Pastor Timothy's leading in worship and he has songs that God's putting on his heart that they don't have on the screen. And it's like, so if you ever see a blank screen, it's because all of a sudden a song came up that he just felt like the Lord. That's God's plan. We got to allow him that opportunity to interrupt our life. Amen? Now, let me just say, I don't know everything that God has for every one of us, like all the little details, but I do know the big picture that God has for all of us. Amen? The Bible lays it out, but God's personal will for your life, listen, I don't have those answers like, who am I supposed to marry? I've had people ask me that before. Should I marry this person? Should I not? And I'm like, listen, I'm not God. I can't tell you that. Should I take this job or should I take that job? Well, I can tell what I would prefer you to take, but that may not be God's will. And so you got to listen to him. Should I buy this or should I not buy that? Well, if you're buying it from me, then that's an absolute yes for the Lord. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, I don't know, but I do know. Here's what I do know. God's desire is that all would come to repentance, that none would perish. And so that God's will is that every lost person would be saved. Amen? And that every saved person would be pastored, would be a part of the body of Christ. How many of you know God has not called any of us to be lone rangers? Oh, I just worship God in nature, you know, and I'm out there. No, we are a part of the body of Christ. There's a connection we need, and that everybody that is pastored, we get trained. How many of you know we're supposed to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ? We are not to stagnate, and that everybody that is trained is deployed to go. That's what God's called all of us to do, to know God, to find freedom, to discover divine purpose for your life and make a difference. Amen? I mean, isn't there something inside of us all that wants to make a difference in our world? Like, I've never met the person that says, well, I hope my life doesn't affect anybody, right? I hope I live my life only for myself and I can't help or bless anybody else. No, that's not, you know, even if you're not a Christian, that's not your desire. We want to help. There's something that God put in us. And I believe that, you know, here's another quote by Mark Twain. Well, first one from him. He says, the two greatest days, and I did a typo in here, so excuse me. The two greatest days of your life is the day you were born, this is supposed to say, and the day you find out why. How many of you know, the day you were born, and I just want to say, the day you were born again. Amen? The day you were born again and the day you find out why. There's a lot of people that serve God, but they don't know why. They don't realize that they got a real purpose in their life. So the ultimate thing that God has for us is that we would actually make an eternal difference. And there's a lot of people that feel empty in their life, especially as they get older, because they never really plugged in at the end of the day to say, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? So here's the thing. If you are not using your life to make a difference in the life of someone else, you may possibly be stuck in your spiritual journey. And I want to help you get unstuck. Pastor Colleen mentioned earlier, and I'm just going to kind of give you some practical things. These are kind of commercials, but they're things to help you get unstuck. I hear my voice going out. Pray for me. There we go. So here's the thing. We got growth tracks. What is that? It's not just like another thing to do. Oh, no, you got another thing. Growth tracks actually have a purpose in us. And the first one is like you finding a place to belong. Like how many of you know everybody needs a place to belong? And it's like, okay, what do I need to go through? What do I got to do in order to be a part of what's going on here? So we do cover things that we believe as a church, because you got to be in line with that. And in everything that entails, if you are a member already, then I would encourage you to come to the next class, the commitment to growth, being able to grow. Again, we're not called just to stay where we are. And so we cover a lot of important stuff in that. If we get enough people go through that, then we will offer 301, which is discovering your spiritual gifts and the things God has for you, and then eventually commitment to serve. So that's important. Life groups are important. And life groups, and this is on our website. I'm just going to read it because people are like, oh, man, another thing to do. But it's there are so much more than people meeting up for a Bible study or a social hangout. It's a place where meaningful relationships. How many of you know that's what our world? We got 100,000 Facebook friends, but how many of you know we don't have a lot of meaningful relationships? How are you going to get a meaningful relationship? You got to actually spend time with people. Right, and that's what the small group does. So we do have the signups that are on these tables in the back. If we fill up a group, guess what? We'll start another group. Amen. So I want to encourage you. We have David and Christina are in rescue, and it's on Sunday every other or first and third Sunday. We have ours in Placerville, and that is on first and third Friday. We have. The young adults, I would say young adults, basically under 40, and they meet the second and fourth Friday. And then Bob and Marilyn, they have one on Tuesday. Is that second and fourth or first and third? I don't know. Fine. You have to look at the sheet. But they meet on Tuesdays at 10 o'clock right here at the church. So I would encourage you to get a part of one of those. Other thing is learning to serve at a ministry in the church. There's our youth, our kids, our junior church, our nursery, hospitality, media. There's all kinds of things that you can get involved in. And I just want to say how important. I want to emphasize this right now because that is so important. Last week, and we're down a little bit this week, it happens. Last week we had like 133 people here. And do you realize we had 35 that were in 18 and under that were in these class in our either youth or kids or whatever? And the reason I'm saying that is because if we had everybody here, our church would probably run about 150 between the two services. So that means that our church is literally at the place where one out of every four people here are under 18. And those of you that have been here a while, how many of you know that's a big deal? Right? That was not anywhere near that. But the reason I bring that up is because, yes, we got all these kids, but if God's going to keep growing it, we got to have more people that are willing to serve them, more people that are willing to teach them. And we've got rotating teams in the youth. There's the kids that Pastor Colleen goes out, and I know Deborah goes out once a month. Junior church, Stephanie's in there at this point three times out of the month, and I know that Carrie goes in there once, but we need other people that will step up. Our nursery, we have a rotation, and it's like, can I not sacrifice one Sunday to say, you know what, I'll serve our kids? How many of you know that is an investment? Yeah. Amen? That's an investment that has benefits, that has a reward. So all of those are needs, but let me just say, some of you don't have the time for that, I understand, or maybe physically you can't, but there is service to the community that I believe is vital. And Scott Maston is one of our school board representatives. I'm just pointing you out. But let me tell you, that is a godly position. You know, he's in there fighting against a lot of stuff, keeping books out of the school and the libraries that shouldn't be in there. Aren't you glad that there's someone willing to do that? Right? And I know that there's opportunities for grandparents to come into the school reviewing curriculum. And you're like, if you want to know more about that, I'd say hit them up. There's opportunities to serve. We have some single moms that through legal process need somebody to help chaperone kids. And listen, all that is time. Would you be willing to hang out so that restoration things can happen in a family? And if you are, please let me know because I will point you in the right direction. Say, listen, I can give some of my time to be with a mom and be there with kids. So please let us know. You can be a mechanic, doing yard work, plumbing for people that either physically can't or maybe they can't afford to. And there's people that do that. You can lead a Bible study. Doesn't have to, how many of you know you don't have to have a Bible study just here? I do one at Christlike on every Wednesday. I know Bob and Marilyn do one at the... Yes, thank you. And so listen, finding places to serve in the community is hugely important as well. Being a part of a Bible study or prayer time, we have our men's Bible study every Friday at 8 a.m. Women's Bible study just started up this past week. You can still come. It's Wednesday, 5 o'clock. Apologetics class is starting. It's going to be twice a month. I think he's got like five classes, so it's not like forever, but I would encourage you to go, or just coming on Thursday nights for prayer. Let me tell you, we've got like 14, 15 people that come for prayer. How many of you know that's making a difference in the kingdom? Yeah. Amen. So what I'm saying is that the more you get connected, I feel like two different people have been preaching this sermon, don't you? The loud, crazy one, and then the one that's hanging on to everything he's got. So, but the more you get connected, I want to tell you, the more your difference your life is going to make in this world. Amen? And that really leads me to number three, is building a legacy. Those are ways that you build a legacy. James chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "Now listen, you rich people." Let me just say, how many of you are like, okay, well, that's not me. I want to give you a statistic. Do you realize if you make $35,000 a year or more, you're in the top 1% of the world? Now it's like, you're a 1%er. You're like, well, I don't even make that. So if you make $15,000 or more, you're in the top 10%, right? We don't realize how much. Let me tell you how rich some of you guys are. Some of you guys are so rich, you have a house for your car. Some of you got two or three of those, right? And some of you guys are so rich, you got to go to the fridge in the garage to fit the extra food that doesn't fit in your house. Amen? I'm in that category too. Some of you guys are so rich, you can walk into a closet full of clothes and say, "I've got nothing to wear." Come on, I'm just playing with you guys, so... I wanted to throw that at it. He goes, "Listen, you rich people." Now, let me tell you, this is his corrective tone. He says, "Weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you." Man, that's not a good word, Pastor. I didn't come here for that. He says, "Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. For you have hoarded wealth in these last days." And he says, "Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields and are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived in luxury and self-endurance, and you have fatted yourself on the day of slaughter." I'm going to talk about that in a second. You have condemned and murdered innocent men that were not opposing you. So he's basically saying misery's coming on you because you've got more than you needed and you kept it all to yourself. Right? You kept it all. You didn't give the wages on the day of slaughter. What is the day of slaughter? That was the day they brought their animal sacrifices to the Lord. That was where they gave their tithe, whether it was agricultural, they gave the harvest. Harvest was the day of slaughter was the animals, and really that was their 10%. They were given that unto the Lord. It was called the tithe, and yet they kept it all for themselves. I'm not taking mine in. I need all my cows, right? I need all that, right? I need all of my sheep. Listen, God has no problem with you having stuff and finances, but he wants you to give that and share that with others. Amen. That's how you build a legacy, is that you invest it into things that are going to last longer than you. Here's this is my philosophy. I am going to build into something that's going to outlast me and live into eternity. Amen. Anybody else with me? Some of you guys that have been here longer than we have, how many of you know there's a lot of people that paid to get this building and this land that are no longer with us? They're already with Jesus right now. But guess what? Their legacy is moving on. Why is that? Because they made a legacy. And even in this church, how many of you know there are still lives being changed? There are still, like when you build a legacy, there's fruit that continues on way past you and I. And I don't want to get to the end of my life and realize, man, I spent it all on myself. I blew it all for me, you know. I was too worried about that church just wants money. No, it's not about that. It's about getting the gospel to the ends of the earth. Amen. So what did Jesus say? Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Listen, if my treasure is all on this earth, then where's my heart? It's all right here. And listen, as a church, we want to invest in feeding the poor. We want to invest in reaching people for the kingdom. We want to invest in reaching our county, and we do that. Listen, you guys, the money that you guys provided, we got a youth building, right? How many of you know that wasn't cheap? And listen, I want to invest in a new building, right? Because I believe that God's going to grow us past what we can do right here. And what do you want to do? Do you want to invest your life in the kingdom, or do you want to keep it all? So that really matters. Last one is to live with expectation. And let me just tell you, at any moment, how many of you know Jesus could come back? We're coming back to that. He started with it, and he's ending with it. Look what he says in James 5:7. Be patient then, my brothers. How many of you know if something keeps getting repeated, there's something we need to pay attention to? He says, until the Lord's coming, see how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, how patient he is for the autumn springs. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. It's coming near. Live with expectancy, that with our mind is on eternity. And listen, yes, there's that tension you and I are going to have to deal with. Two quotes, and then we're going to wrap it up. C.S. Lewis, he said, if you read in history, you'll find that the Christians who did the most in the present world were precisely those who thought most of the next. Does that make sense? You got to kind of think about that. All of these are in your notes, so you don't have to worry about taking a picture of it. He also said this. He says, if you aim for heaven, you're going to get earth thrown in. But if you aim for earth, you get neither. Now, those are ones I hope you take it and kind of think about that, because that kind of goes along with what Jesus said. If you try to keep your life, if you try to save your life, you're going to lose it, right? But if you lose your life for him, how many of you know, you keep it. It's like it's so different than what the world says, pursue this, pursue that, go for this, live your dream. How many of you have heard that? Just live whatever your dream is. No, I want to live God's dream for me. God's dream for me is way better than my dream is a selfish dream. My dream is all about me, but if I'll live for heaven, then God will give me the benefits of heaven and the blessings that earth has. Amen? So I'm going to ask everybody to stand. Listen, living in the light of eternity, maybe you're here today and you're like, you know what? I've been living for myself. I've been living focused on my issues, my things. And can we turn? Yeah, go ahead and turn those down. And I just want to challenge you today to surrender your life to the Lord. If you haven't, listen, the Bible says that all of us have sinned. We've all missed heaven without him because we're focused on ourselves. He says the wages of sin is death. That's eternal separation, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so if you're here today, I don't know where you are. Maybe you've been wandering. Maybe you've given your life to the Lord, but you're like, you know what? I want to make a fresh commitment to him today. So if I can just have everybody bow your heads where you're at. And if you say, Pastor, I'm making a fresh start. I'm turning my eyes to heaven. I'm stopped focusing so much on this world, and I want to make a fresh start with him. If that's you, just raise your hand, and then you can put it back down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You know what? Can we all repeat this prayer together? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving me, being merciful to me, being patient with me. I know I don't deserve it, but because you love me, you've been patient with me. So I give you my life today. I want to follow you. I want to live with a heavenly mindset. I want my life to count for eternity. So take my life, Lord. Help me live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Can we give the Lord a hand clap? My voice has kind of come back a little bit, but listen, I just want to pray a blessing over everyone here. And listen, if you signed up for the baptism class, we will meet about 4 or 5 minutes, and we'll be in the cafe over here. If you didn't sign up, but you still want to be baptized, you can come over there too. And we're going to have a great time next week at the river. If you don't know where it is, make sure you check with us. And you guys have, I was going to pray. Lord, pray a blessing, Lord, over everyone that is here. Lord God, thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And Lord, we want to follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed. Oh, and make sure you sign up for our life group back there.